Think about it. They say the original was the only inspired Word of God. Well, then what are they doing with that book that they've got that they call the King James Version? Because it's been re-revised 10 times. And is a long ways from that original 1611. If the original was the only inspired Word of God, the one they got is not inspired. You understand? It's different. It's totally different. Okay?
How many revisions has the American Standard had?
I don't know, but it's far, far less.
I just wanted to say that we do have some questions that we get to them after.
We'll get to them after.
That, I just want to let people know that their questions will be asked.
Okay. Here's what Westcott and Hort did. They realized that the apocryphal books didn't belong in the Bible, and they didn't put them there. But the King James translators put them there. How can they criticize these people? They understood that the 66 books were the only ones that belonged in the Bible, and that's what they put there. And they put the ones there that came from the ancient manuscripts. They didn't mess with any young manuscript. Now, in the defense of the King James people, they didn't have any ancient manuscripts. They didn't have any. In fact, the Dead Sea Scrolls weren't discovered then either. They didn't have any ancient manuscripts. And they didn't have to be much translators because, like I said, 90-something percent, I think 96%, came straight out of the Bishop's Bible. So they didn't have to be much translators. When Ivan Panin put together his New Testament, he picked Westcott and Hort to be the foundation of it. The reason he did that is that these guys picked ancient manuscripts and they did a very, very good job. Now, he checked all of their works out and used theirs as a foundation for his numeric English New Testament, okay, and the numeric Greek New Testament. The numeric Greek New Testament is totally checked out and has a perfect numeric pattern going all the way through it. It is our copy of the original. God fixed the Bible where you couldn't add to it nor take away from it without destroying that numeric pattern. Okay, if you go back to the earliest copies, we don't have any originals, but if you go back to the earliest copies, you know, like the Alexandrius and the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus, if you go back to these ancient manuscripts, you are getting back, the whole story is in those ancient manuscripts, but you have to pick and choose. Through numerics, you know which part to pick and which part not to pick. Okay? And so you come up with an original Greek from those. And then from that, if you're a translator that doesn't believe in translating the same Greek word into 8 or 10 or 12 different words, which is totally deceptive, totally wrong, then you can translate a pretty accurate Bible. And Ivan Panin has the most accurate. And the numeric English New Testament. In the front of his numeric English New Testament, you know what he says? He says that the ASV is incomparably superior to any other version the writer knows of. Its defects are mere surface defects, disfiguring particles of dust, as it were. Now, he said that the ASV was the most accurate New Testament. Why? Because they used the right manuscripts and because they were truly scholars. And let me point out to you something that's not scholarly about King James and the people that he hired. First of all, he took authority over them. He wouldn't let them do something that convicted him of his sinful life. Sinful life? I thought he was St. James. No. The authorized version wasn't authorized by God. It was authorized by King James the First. And let me tell you, we just happen to have had two English ladies in our Bible study here who both brought me their history books that came from England. It's strange what we hear about how holy King James was. Their own history books accused the man of being a bisexual, of opposing everything the Puritans, who were the reformers in those days, folks, everything that the Puritans were doing to try to move the Church of England away from its Catholic roots and get back to the Bible, he opposed. He fought against. He persecuted these people. And he was a bisexual. Not St. James at all. He's not a man that you want over somebody making the Bible. Can you imagine going out and picking some kind of person like that today to be over the people that make the Bible? First thing he'd say is, hey, I don't like this verse. It convicts me of sin. I don't like it. Change it. You know that he did send these translators back to the drawing boards over and over to make them change things that they wrote? Hey, first of all, a man as perverted as this. He was the normal man that had absolute power. Have you ever heard the old saying? That absolute power absolutely corrupts? Well, it's proven true all through the years. Now, let me tell you something about the Church of England. You know the Church of England, there's hardly a nickel's worth of difference between the Church of England and the Catholic Church. They don't believe in idols. They believe in priests marrying. And other than that, most of the doctrine is the same. In fact, they've been in negotiations for years to rejoin the Catholic Church. They're so close in their doctrine. You understand? We're not talking about Protestants here. We've got a perverted idea of what happened to Protestantism. Listen, the Protestants were those Puritans who were trying to get King James to get back to the Bible with his religion. And he persecuted them. He wanted to stick with the doctrines of the Catholic Church. Listen, of course he didn't want the Pope to be the head of the Catholic Church, of his new Catholic Church. He wanted to be the head, right? He was a very perverted person. Basically, the Church of England in those days were just like the Catholics. I was raised a Catholic, and I can tell you, the overwhelming majority of them weren't saved and aren't saved. They're just religious. They don't know God. They don't have a born-again experience. They aren't filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's the way these people were. They didn't have a respect for the Scriptures like you and I have, who are born again, filled with the Spirit, love God. They didn't have that kind of respect. And it's proven in their translation. You get your concordance out and you check them out. You'll find out what I found out, that you were lied to. There's some really good... First of all, you can get Ivan Panin's works. I think Terry can put that article up there or show you how to get to it. Science in the Bible. At the bottom of Science in the Bible, there's an article that I wrote that tells you some of the things that I've just told you and more. And it tells you how to buy Ivan Panin's, or where to get Bible, Ivan Panin's books, his Bible, and his Greek New Testament, and where to get the ASV, if you want an ASV. And it really don't matter to me if you use the King James or the ASV. You understand? I'm not prejudiced for Bibles. I'm prejudiced for accuracy. And there, like I said, there's people here using the King James Version, been using it for years, and they know I don't ever bother them. Because you can find salvation in that King James. You can find holiness in that King James. You can find correction in that King James. The thing I don't like is people with sectarian spirits dividing the body of Christ with lies to try to get people to follow them when they don't believe the Bible themselves. Most of the people that preach that doctrine don't believe in being filled with the Spirit. Don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Speak against the Holy Spirit. And you can't get the truth through to them. But they're holy. You know why they're holy? Because they've got the King James Version. And you don't. So you're bad. And they're good. And they're right. Just like every other sectarian group out there. We're right because we do this, or we do that, or we believe this, or we believe that. That's just a lying sectarian spirit. Yeah, Kurt?
I was just going to say, I've got the King James, but I've got it because it's big letters.
Uh-huh.
but I got a lot of corrections in there. Circled and corrections.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something else. Okay? This is, most of you know about the Bible code. You know what awesome revelations are coming in the Bible code. And you know the Bible code is an equal distant lettering sequence. Okay? You have to have those letters perfect in order to find those sequences, or you won't find near as many of them. You know that in War and Peace, you can find codes in there. But they're not like the Bible code in that even in different skip sequences, you find like subjects in the same area, long revelations through the Bible, not just two or three letter words that you can find in any book, you know, searching it by accident, you can find that in there. But in the Bible code, there's very specific revelations about you and your family. The genius of Vilna said that everything is written in the Bible. Every man's history and everything that he's done is written in the Bible. And you know what they're discovering? This man, way back before there were computers, got a revelation from God, because that's exactly what they're finding. But look, the numerics is the foundation for the Bible code. If you have numerics right and the equal distant lettering sequences correct, then you can find the Bible codes. If they're not right, you can't find them. You know why they're having such a problem finding the codes in the New Testament when they're not in the Old Testament? I'll tell you why. Because they need to get back to numerics. Because numerics will put the New Testament on equal footing as the Old Testament. It will get the letters in their right position so that they can find these skip sequences. The New Testament is just as full of revelation as the Old Testament. It's just that they're not finding it because they're using the received text. Most of them are using the received text. If they will use Ivan Panin's numeric Greek New Testament, they will find Bible codes all through there. See? God laid the first foundation first, and that was numerics. That brought along what people call theomatics, where you were able to add certain phrases together and get revelations. Let me give you just an example of theomatics. Okay?
That was one of our questions, by the way.
Okay? Here's an example of theomatics. Now, theomatics is adding up the letter of the Greek or Hebrew to get a revelation. For instance, if you add up the Greek letters in the word Jesus, you come up with 888. Which is, of course, divisible by 111. Lord God in Genesis 3:9 is 111. The divisible value of 111 ties Jesus to God in the Old Testament. Jesus is 888, or 111 times 8. And Lord God is 888, or 111 times 8. Interesting, right? Or Lord Jesus is 111 times 11. Word, you know, the Word is the Lord Jesus, right? Is 111 times 2. And Nazarene is 111 times 2. My beloved Son comes up to 111 times 14. See, 111 connects the divinity of Jesus with God. Okay, here's another number. Sometimes in the surface text, this divisible number will be included. Like, for instance, in Revelation 13 and 16, the number of the beast is 666. Did you know that all underneath the text, 666 goes through there? For instance, if you add up the Greek letters in adversary, it comes up to 666. In the world comes up to 666. Great wrath comes up to 666. Merchants of the earth, 666. Where the harlot sits. Where does the harlot sit? On the beast, right? 666. Blasphemy against God, 666 times 3. Mouth of the dragon, 666 times 3. The whole world wandereth after the beast, 666 times 5. And to destroy the ones destroying the earth, 666 times 5. Notice 666 ties together Satan, the wicked, the kingdom of the world. 666 ties all that together. Another surface number, 144. Revelation 14 and 1. Behold the Lamb, and with Him 144,000. Okay. Hidden within the values, that 144 goes all through the text of the Bible. The elect equals 144. The faith equals 144 times 7. The bride equals 144 times 7. The 144,000 equals 144 times 7. Blessed are those servants, 144 times 7. The elect of God, 144 times 10. Purchased first fruits, 144 times 10. The clouds, like, you know, behold, He cometh with the clouds, 144 times 10. You know why? Because the purchased first fruits and He cometh with the clouds are both the same, 144 times 10. The elect of God, 144 times 10. You know what the clouds are? The clouds of saints, white-robed saints. Right? So you see, 144 connects God's kingdom, the elect, the righteous. It's a spiritual number as well as a physical number. Okay, that's a sample of the way theomatics works. Okay, but and after that we have the Bible code, and you know most of you already know what the Bible code is. But the Bible code is only useful because of those scribes who were so careful to make every letter be exactly the same in the Old Testament. And now, it's going to be useful because in the New Testament, because some people are realizing that numerics is the key to find the equidistant lettering sequences in the New Testament. And what does all this prove? All this proves that the people that say the only inspired Word of God is a translation, contrary to the Scriptures. And not only that, it's a translation that came off of 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 a translation and went back to the received text, which is a copy off of a copy off of a copy off of a copy. And suddenly, this is the only inspired Word of God. That's ludicrous. And they're using it just to divide the body. Now, I want to say something else. If you look at Jude, we see that Jude is quoting the book of Enoch. Well, the book of Enoch couldn't all be bad because Jude's quoting the book. Matter of fact, that particular quote has a perfect numeric pattern in it. The quote has a numeric pattern. You understand that Enoch was a real prophet. But that doesn't mean that everything he did and said was right. You understand that? You know, the Bible even points out errors that people have. For instance, it pointed out an argument between Paul and Peter over their problem of legalism, of separating from the Christians when the Jews came around. There was an argument. Now, one of them was wrong there, right? Wouldn't you say? It's obvious to me that Peter was wrong, dead wrong. But you know what? When God used Peter to write His book, there was an absolute perfect pattern in there. But tell me that Peter's doctrine wasn't wrong when Paul corrected him for separating from the Christians because the Jews came around and didn't want to offend him. And he rebuked him for it. Tell me Peter's doctrine wasn't wrong there. You know, the Bible even points out wrong things that people do. But when holy men of old were moved by the Holy Spirit to write the Bible, God didn't take any chances. They were perfectly inspired to write it so that it could come all the way down to us and we could double check it with His numeric system and make sure it's still the one that was passed out in the beginning. See? He was very... Now, if you picked up any other book that Peter wrote or John wrote, let me tell you, there are apocryphal books out there that are purported to be written by the apostles themselves that have no numeric pattern in them. God's not saying that Paul and Peter and John were perfect in everything that they believed and everything that they said and everything that they wrote. God's only saying the Scriptures are that way. So when you find a verse here in the book of Jude, now some people use this to say, oh, it's got to be right. I mean, it's quoted in the Bible, you know. The book of Jude's got to be right. No, there are people that argue that the book of Jude wasn't even written. I mean, the book of Enoch wasn't even written by Enoch. And there are several books of Enoch. And it was a habit back in those days for people to write books and put a famous person's name on it. Okay? Am I saying that was true of the book? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there were a lot of books like that. You heard of the lost books of the Bible? Well, they should have stayed lost. They should have stayed lost because they have nothing to do with the truth. And I've got a copy of them. They have nothing to do with the truth. They're silly. Okay? You say, well, David, couldn't there be some good things? Yes, there could be some really good things in the book of Enoch, just like the shepherd of Hermon. Very good thing. I'm telling you that the perfect numeric pattern is not there because God didn't want you to respect them like you respect the 66 books. And God didn't want you, and some of you have read the apocryphal books. And you say, well, I like this one and I like this one. Boy, I learned something. Yeah, I agree. But God still doesn't want you to accept them on the level of inspiration and purity as the Bible itself. And He certainly doesn't want you to correct the Bible with them because there's errors in them. Okay. Now, like I said, I've had revelations from God. He's taken me and shown me things. The Lord's appeared to me twice. And I believe these are revelations from God. When I pass them on to someone else, am I saying they're infallible? And every letter of what I wrote down there about them is correct? No. I'm saying that is true only of the Bible. Okay? Let me point something out to you. Look in the book of Esther. Chapter 10. Verse 1, verse 2. Esther's on page 437.
That's a short chapter.
In my book, it's 8 or 9.
All right, Kurt. Chapter 10, verse 1. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea, and all the acts of his power and of his might, and of the full account of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him. Are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? Well, ain't that something? All this about Mordecai. Mordecai is written about in the book of Esther. You know, he's a great hero among the Jews. And what's written about here in the book of Esther is absolutely perfectly numeric. Okay? And it mentions this other book. You know, kind of like it mentions the book of Enoch over in Jude. Now, what part of that book is right? Because you're talking about a book that was written by pagans and had pagan kings. What part of the book is right? Is he saying that the book's right because it's mentioned in the Bible? No. He's saying that the book's right because it's mentioned in the Bible. He's just saying you what's reported there. Is he saying the whole book of Enoch is perfectly inspired because it's written about? No. He is not. Can you trust it like you trust the Bible? No. From the numeric pattern and the proof of numerics, you cannot trust it like you trust the Bible. So, don't consider any of these pseudepigraphal or apocryphal, none of these books, don't consider any of them inspired on the level of Scripture and don't make doctrine from them. I see too many people doing that. And they're coming up with a lot of Jewish tales and opinions. You understand, some people really respect the Jewish tales. But I want to tell you, do you respect the Christian tales that have been passed on to you? You know what Jesus told them? He said, you make of no effect the Word of God by your traditions. Is it not still true today among the Christians? Same thing is true. There's only one thing you can trust. Now, people are running to the Jews to find out, you know, their opinion on things. But Paul warned us against that. And Jesus rebuked them as people who trusted tradition more than they trusted the Word. See, we've got something we can trust, and God has proven, and it's the Word of God. 66 books. And you can't trust anything else. Can you read someone's revelation, their dream, you know, and receive something from it? Sure you can. And God can use it too. But you don't want to make doctrine from something like that. And you don't want to hold it on the level of Scripture, and you certainly don't want to correct the Scripture, nor do you want to put it in with the Scripture to come up with your opinion. You know why? Because the Bible says, the sum of thy words is truth. See? Listen, why would you go and read those other books if you haven't read this one thoroughly? Something that we know is the Word of God. Why would you go study them and look for doctrine and look? See, people want to find hidden truths. They love to find hidden truths. Well, I'll tell you what, you can read the Bible all day long the rest of your life and find hidden truths. Because God's put them in. And you have the advantage of knowing that you're reading something that is the Word of God. There are lots of prophets that have divine gifts. But that doesn't mean that they were right in everything they said. You know some of them yourself. Let me tell you something. There was a guy named William Branham in this country. And William Branham was an awesome prophet of God. He was just awesome. And he had a word of knowledge that was so powerful. He had the strongest healing ministry of any I've read about. And William Branham, you didn't have to tell him what was wrong with you. He would tell you what was wrong with you. And you might have gone to the doctor and found out it was this or that before you got down there to get prayed for. He'd say, you got this and you got that. He was powerful. But let me tell you, William Branham went astray. His doctrine was wrong. There are people that say he is the New Testament prophet, which there's no such thing. You just read the 1 Corinthians 14, you'll know there's no such thing as the New Testament prophet. And there's other people that say Brother Stair is, and that's another. Some more baloney. Okay? There is no such thing as the New Testament prophet. There are prophets. God doesn't trust anything to a man. But William Branham got lifted up by his powerful healing gifts and his word of knowledge. And he said a lot of false doctrine and taught a lot of false doctrine, a lot of false things. Does that mean he wasn't perfectly inspired in the gift that God gave him? No. I tell you what, he was right just about every time. In fact, as far as I know, every time. He was right. But did that make all of his doctrine right? Should he write a book? No. He should not write books. Can people write about the gifts and the miracles and the healings? Yeah, because he had a gift there. Over in my area, I moved over here from Louisiana, our town, Baton Rouge, which is where Jimmy Swaggart had his ministry. Now, Jimmy Swaggart had a powerful evangelical gift to just bring people to Jesus. You know, I mean, he could say less, and I would think, boy, there wasn't much in that. But boy, people would just flock down there to come to the Lord, you know, because he had a gift. God would use those few simple words, kind of like Billy Graham. You ever hear Billy Graham get anything very deep? Never. Just simple, simple words. And people would flog down. Now, do I want to read a lot of Billy Graham's books? No. Did I ever want to read a lot of Jimmy Swaggart? No. Because I read some of them. See, just because you got a gift in one area don't mean you got one in another area. And of course, people might respect you. They might want to listen to what Benny Hinn has to say because he has gifts of healings. But he wrote a book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit, which was all about praying to the Holy Spirit. And there's nobody in the Bible ever prayed to the Holy Spirit, folks. That's a false doctrine. The whole book is baloney. Not one place did anybody pray to the Holy Spirit. See, you can have a gift in one area of your life, that does not make you infallible anywhere else, including Enoch. That doesn't make you infallible anywhere else. In the area of your gift, that's God. But because people respect you in the area of that gift, they may want you to stretch over into other things, you see. And they may think you're inspired in other things if you're that powerful in that gift. You know? No, that's a false assumption. It's only God where you're flowing in the gift. See now, Jimmy Swaggart wanted to reach over and become the Pope over a large organization. But you know there's no place in the Bible for an evangelist to be a head of an organization like that. And so he got in trouble. And God withdrew his grace. A lot of people do that. They get outside the bounds of the gift that God has given to them. And they think that they're inspired there. Or other people push them into that area because it's needed, necessary. You need to understand these things, you see. No, it's only God where the gift flows. Now, I don't know if Enoch was right in all of his doctrine. I doubt it. But I know he was a true prophet of God. And I know that when the gift moved, that was God. And if he wrote a book, which we really can't prove he wrote all of each of those books, I shouldn't expect it to be the inspired Word of God because there's no numeric pattern in it. Okay? Listen, in all these years since Ivan Panin checked out all the apocryphal books and all the books that he had in his day, since in all those years, nobody has ever found the numeric pattern in the Book of Enoch that I've ever heard of. And he didn't find it back when he checked them all out. Why did God keep his hand on these 66 books and get them into our hand? Even as much as men made war against this book and tried to destroy it, he kept his hand on it. Even in the hands of ignorant men, he got it to us. And through research, you can find more and more truth. If you're satisfied with a little bit of truth, then use them. Don't worry about accuracy. Just accept what you see in front of you. But if you're really hungry to continue to find more and more, he said it's the glory of kings to seek it out. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, and it's the glory of kings to seek it out. You're not going to find it just laying on the surface, folks. It's hidden. God did that on purpose because he didn't want to reveal things to the Pharisees. He wanted to reveal them to his children. That's why Jesus spoke in parables, because he didn't want to reveal these revelations to the Pharisees. He just wanted his children to understand. And he took them aside privately and explained them to them. Again, the Bible doesn't claim any infallibility to any translation, including the ASV. It ascribes no infallibility to any of that. Only the original writings. The writings. Only the original writings. Okay? And the only way we can find them is through numerics. Now, people say, well, you see, your Bible's wrong because you departed from the King James here. Well, wait a minute. That's kind of circular reasoning, isn't it? The King James is not the foundation. The original words written through the apostles were the foundation. If we depart from them, we've departed from the Word. No matter how much you've departed from... See, I've had people come up to me and say, look, your Bible is different from the King James here. Therefore, your Bible's wrong. I said, now let me point something out to you. This part right here has a perfect numeric pattern in it, and the King James was wrong. Because we know what the original says. And they can't fathom that. Because they've been told that God waited 1,600 years before he wrote the Bible. Duh! When did God write the Bible? He didn't wait 1,600 years and then only give it to Englishmen. That's dumb. That's the way religion is. It's just dumb. You know? He didn't wait 1,600 years and only give it to Englishmen. He doesn't just like Englishmen. Everybody else got the Bible too, and if they seek it out, they'll find truth too. Yes, sir?
We just have a lot of questions, and it's about 10 o'clock, and I wanted to get some before they have to go home.
Okay. Who's got a question?
Who doesn't have a question?
Oh, my goodness. Hope I hadn't offended too many people here.
Okay, let's see. One was about your opinion on thematics. Then there was some people that were saying that they're getting revelation from it. And you were talking about the Shepherd of Hermas not being having a perfect numeric pattern, and you were saying that you can still receive light from the text.
Yeah.
And
well, let me explain some of this now.
Well, they're saying, isn't light light?
Let me explain some of it. If God gave you a dream and you wrote it down, would you expect that every letter would be perfectly inspired of God, or that you would get the point from that dream? See, now that's the thing. We've got revelations out there that are true revelations, but they are not. They don't hold the level of inspiration that the Scripture does. See, there's different levels of inspiration. God wanted the Scriptures to be perfect. And it's our rock that we stand upon. It's immovable. It's truth, pure truth. See, we can't hold anything else up to the level of inspiration that the Scripture has. That's the point. And what I'm saying about numerics and theomatics, they're there. They're truth. And the Bible code, it's there. It's truth, you see. God put all these codes in His Word. They're there. And when I put the Shepherd of Hermas on there, I'm not expecting everybody to accept everything the Shepherd. It's a warning. If someone stood up in front of your church and shared a warning with you that struck your heart and blessed you, would you not accept it? Well, it's the same thing. When you read the Shepherd of Hermas, you're going to hear some things that are going to touch your heart. And maybe bring some repentance, because it was a great book to bring repentance to an apostate church. It was headed for tribulation. It was a great book for that. See. So I'm not making any claims for it, other than I really felt God when I read it. And you know what? It's been translated like the Bible. It's been translated with people that, in some cases, didn't know what they were doing. See? And the Bible's the same way. You got a Bible, you pack it around with you, you love it like I love mine. But does that mean that I believe everything that someone translated there? No, because I'll tell you, sometimes the Lord speaks to me and said, now go look that word up. And I look it up, and I get a revelation that I didn't get in the surface text, you know. And I found out more meaning to that word than that translator put in there, you see. You're still dealing with men here. Again, I want to tell you this. Most any Bible you pick up, you can get salvation out of. Okay, and an overview of it will give you a wonderful revelation of what God's plan is. In fact, let me tell you, if you are new at this, get an easy reader Bible and read that thing for a while and then put it aside and get something more accurate. Get an easy reader, because sometimes I've had a lot of people tell me, David, I just can't read the King James Version. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, you pick up this. You know, the first Bible I picked up was the Living Bible. And as you know, it's not really a Bible, it's a paraphrase. But boy, did it help me to get a little bit of a jump on things. I just really didn't understand King James English. Okay? And then when I started to really look into things, individual doctrines and things, and I needed accuracy, I started looking for accuracy. But God used that on me. Paraphrasing is not translating. Different. It's totally different. You can't really say it's a translation. See? And a lot of modern translators do a little bit of paraphrasing, and I don't like it. I like word-for-word translation. Okay? One reason I like the ASV is it's word-for-word translation. And they don't attempt any paraphrasing. So,
it's hard to get the ASV. You have to go to Star Bible Publications.
Not hard to get one. Everybody I know was able to get them, you know.
Well, no, I mean...
It was very persecuted.
Bookstores.
Let me point something out to you. The majority have always been wrong on anything. The majority in Jesus' day persecuted him and his disciples and put them to death, would you think a Bible that's a majority today would be the right one? Or would you think the persecuted one today would be the right one? See? It's all, truth is the truth. And truth is not accepted by the majority of God's people. You know, the majority of God's people, the overwhelming majority of God's people, haven't accepted the filling of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the truths of the end time doctrine. The overwhelming majority of them. How would you expect them to know the right Bible if they saw it? They wouldn't. God's going to be merciful. God's going to pour out a lot of revelation in these last days. He's going to give a lot of understanding to His people, and some of those people are going to repent and turn to God. But the majority of them are going to be persecutors still. They're going to persecute the saints. Who's persecuted the saints the most in the past? The people of God, called, so-called, the people of God have persecuted the saints in Jesus' day too. So, if a Bible is... You know, the biggest church in the world is what? The Catholic Church. Would you go there because, well, more people favor it, more people believe in it? Well, you know, it's the same is true of Bibles, folks. If you want something accurate, don't go with what the multitudes go for. I mean, God has already proven to us, absolutely, how to find accuracy. He left His signature in everything that He wrote. It's awesome. Again, some things are less inspired, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't read them and shouldn't receive them. Daniel and the dragon is a interesting a parable that's from God, as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's a parable for our day. You know, in the apocryphal books, a lot of the apocryphal books have some good history, some good understanding in them, but I never have held them on the level of Scripture since I understood what Scripture really was. You have another one?
Well, that might answer the next question. If it's not inspired, how can you receive light from it? But that answered pretty much. The next question, oh, we got several. But what text exactly fits the numeric pattern? Is it only the 66 books, or are there any more?
Okay, let's see. Help me to remember these now. I need to just do them one at a time. Okay.
Well, the first one you were talking about, receiving light from the Shepherd of Hermas, and yes. Yet it's not inspired, how can you receive light?
Yeah, your mom and daddy gave you light. When you came into this world, they started giving you light. But that doesn't mean they were perfectly inspired. You know, any Bible you pick up, there's light there. Some more than others. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just trying to tell you how to get more light. You go to something that's more accurate. And how many Bibles are out there? Who's to say which one's right? God is the only one that can show us what's right. And He's doing that. Now, what was that next question?
What text exactly fit the numeric pattern? Is it only the 66 books, or are there any more?
No. There's never been found another book that has this pattern in it other than the 66 books. Never been found. In all these years since numeric's been known about. I want to tell you that some people are hiding the revelation of numeric's because they don't want you to discover it. There's a man not far from me here. He's famous for King James only. Peter Ruckman is his name. And when he found out he had a numeric book in his library, and a guy from over here went over there and showed it to him, he got rid of it. They don't want you to know about that revelation. In fact, let me tell you something else. There was a book that was written by Ivan Panik. It talked about the inspiration of Scriptures. It was written in 1941 with his findings in there, his revelations in there, the Bibles that were the most accurate in there, and all that. Do you know that I found that book just a few years ago? They had taken Ivan Panin's name off that book and they put their own name on that book. They took all of his information about which Bible was correct and which Bible was more incorrect, and they put their King James only doctrine in there. They plagiarized his revelations, his findings, his numbers, his calculations, but they put the wrong Bible in there. And the reason I know it is because I read the original book. Now I've got this false book on my hands, and I know that the guy that wrote this is going to go straight to hell if he doesn't repent. Because he's a liar. You see, people, they're just outright liars out there, folks. You can't trust people. You can't trust men.
We had some guys that were going to that church that were going around our neighborhood talking, to going from house to house talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to them about Bible numerics, and they were very interested in what I had to say about the accuracy. Well, they went back to Peter Ruckman, talked to him, didn't see him for a couple of months. They were coming every couple of days a week, the same days every day of the week. They finally came back after 2 or 3 months and asked him, what happened? I haven't seen y'all in a while. He says, we're not allowed to talk to you. Good night, good day, and they walked on.
Right.
I was like, wow.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how much proof you have or truth you have. You know, math is an exact science. Mm-hmm. What God does is scientific. You know, let me point out something to you. The King James Version in Genesis chapter 1 sent Adam out to replenish the earth. Do you know where the pre-Adamite doctrine came from? A false translation in the King James Version. There is nothing that says replenish in the text. There's no word there. There's no Hebrew word that says that. It says fill the earth, not replenish. You know what? They got a pre-Adamite doctrine about this that to prove evolution. See, they had to prove these long, long periods of time to try to make the Bible fit with evolution. They used a mistranslation of the King James in order to prove evolution fitted in with the Bible. And that there was a whole pre-Adamite creation before Adam. But the Bible says that death started, and that it was wiped out, by the way. But the Bible says that death started with Adam. Romans chapter 5. And the Bible also says that only two people are the mama and papa, everybody on this earth. Eve was the mother of all living. And God made of one all men to dwell upon the face of the earth. Everybody came from Adam and Eve, folks. The Bible is very plain. So where do you get a pre-Adamite creation? A false doctrine because of a translation in the King James Version. There are a lot of false doctrines for that very purpose, a false translation. So we have to be careful. That's why seeking out the truth and not just blindly accepting what everybody else accepts will do you a lot of good. But don't expect to find the truth among the multitudes, because they're not going to accept it.
Well, I don't know if it's just my King James Bible, but I don't have it. I don't have an Enoch in.
No, Bible's with Apocrypha books.
That's just, okay. Well, what else you got there?
Book of Enoch.
It's not in there.
Next question was, when is a numeric pattern a prerequisite for Scripture?
When is a numeric pattern a prerequisite? Mm-hmm. It's not a prerequisite for Scripture. It just brings us back to the Scripture. You see, we've got no way to prove that these Catholics who wrote the King James Version wrote the Scriptures. You're just accepting what a man says, that these are the only inspired words of God. You're just accepting what a man says. What I'm trying to show you is we don't have to accept what men say. Science itself proves what the Scriptures are. They are the Scriptures are the original writings. That's what the Scriptures are. Not anybody's translation. They're the original writings of the apostles. And how do we find that out? How can we prove it? Because mathematics is an exact science. It's simple math. Is an exact science.
I went through Genesis 1:1 just a couple of weeks ago. And, I mean, this is using the work that's already been prepared. I went online and found an actual photo of the Hebrew text.
Uh-huh.
And then I went and I found the alphabet and, you know, put the place values and the numeric values there. And it took me about 4 hours. uh-huh. just to go through those seven words and prove that for myself.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, there's just no way that it could. I mean, you know, just the fact that I have a pen and was able to do it in a lifetime is pretty.
Yeah.
The Lord definitely facilitated that.
Oh, for sure. Listen, can you imagine a man sitting down for that many hours a day, driven by God to finish this work in 50 years? I mean, look.
You got one book that you're working on.
You just can't imagine. I mean, the anointing that has to be on a person that would make him sit there day in and day out and crunch those numbers.
Right.
You know,
that's awesome. Amazing.
So what else?
Michael was asking for the name of the book that explained all this stuff about the Bible numerics that you have here.
Well, there's a really simple book on my website under Science Proves the Bible. You gave him that address, right? At the bottom of that, there's an article which I put in there myself. The last article is mine, okay? And in that, there is a place to buy and the name of a book. Let's see. It's called Astounding New Discoveries. And this is the simplest book I've found. Now, I've read all of Ivan Penn's stuff. I've got all of his works, okay? Had them for 30 years. But this was by a disciple of Ivan Penn named Carl Sabiers. And he wrote this book in 1941. It's called Astounding New Discoveries. Carl Sabiers. S-A-B-I-E-R-S. K-A-R-L. S-A-B-I-E-R-S. And it was published by Tell International in 1941. If you go on the internet, I've bought several of these. Go on the internet and search used books, and you can find this book. It's from 1941. If you find the modern day version of it, throw it away. That's the one that's plagiarized and false. Okay? But this book is very simple. And when you get to read this book, you will have a powerful respect for the Scriptures and the miracle that God did so that no man could add to them or take away from them. Not one letter. And it's absolutely proven by math. No man's opinion, nobody's saying that the King James is the inspired, perfectly inspired Word of God. Just opinion. Have you ever read any of those books, folks, by people that were trying to prove that the King James is the only inspired Word? Listen, I've had people shoving those books at me for 30 years. There is nothing but accusations in those books against people to destroy their good name. You look in there for proof, you will find no proof. They give no proof of which one is the perfectly inspired Word of God. Math gives absolute proof. Don't be critical until you check this out, okay? If you don't want to go get this book, go on my site and you read the math in Science Proves the Bible. The math is there. If you're interested in truth, if you're just interested in prejudice, fine, read those books because they're good. They're good at assailing good people. They're good at discrediting good people. They're good at attacking people, like Westcott and Hort. They're good at that. The only thing is, Westcott and Hort had a product there that was just full of the numeric pattern. It came from the ancient manuscripts right after the Apostles' writings. And their book that they championed is just full of error. And didn't even come from a young manuscript. It came off of a Bible, off of a Bible, off of a Bible. See, religion is just is blind prejudice. You see, but God's got proof. Okay, what else?
Okay, just trying to get them all in order. So many. Okay, next question. Let me X out the ones we've already got. Okay. What about the ASV Old Testament? I know you talked a little bit about, you know, some of the things in the numerics in the Old Testament, but has the ASV been
very accurate in the Old Testament?
Yeah, has it been proven through Bible numerics?
One of the main reasons is they had a very good They used very good manuscripts, like a lot of other people did too. But they were very good scholars. They didn't seem to have their own axe to grind. I saw them put things in the Bible that other people did not put in there because their mind got in the way. And it made me respect them to realize that they were just translating what was there, not putting their doctrine in there, not changing it because of their opinion. It's been clear to me for 30 years that these men respected the Word of God enough that they wouldn't change it. And the Old Testament is the same way. They have a very accurate Old and New Testament. Very accurate. Listen, I'm not prejudiced. If I find a better one, I will go to it tomorrow. That's the way I feel. This is not a religious thing with me. It wasn't a religious thing with me when I got away from the King James in the first place. I mean, it's not a religious thing with me. If somebody makes a better one, I will go to it tomorrow. I can tell you right now. I'm just looking for accuracy. And I'm not dividing the body of Christ over this either, because like I've told you, there are people here who use all different kinds of Bibles. I'm not dividing the body of Christ. I can tell you where you can find accuracy, but I don't condemn anybody. Nobody here will tell you I condemn them for what Bible they use. Nobody will tell you that. That's not the truth. So it's not a religious thing with me. I'm just looking for accuracy and truth, that's all. Yeah.
The next question and comment was, I have read in two or three different places many statements that were quotes of Westcott and Fort where they denied the deity of Christ, said the first three chapters of Genesis were in no wise literal, etc., etc. Have you read these things too?
Yep.
I am sure you probably have and can give an answer to.
Yeah, but I never found them to be true.
Like this.
I never found that their Bible denied the deity of Christ. But I can tell you this. These people that said that, they used the King James Version to prove that the ASV was wrong. Because a word was different in the ASV than was in the King James. And they're saying because this word was different, because it didn't call Mary a virgin in this verse, or something like that. Okay. However, I checked those things out with numerics, and I found out that the King James was the one that was wrong. So they used that to say, you see, they are not accepting the divinity of Christ. Well, you can't pick the ASV up and come to that opinion, folks. You just can't do it. Please pick it up and read it. Okay. Yeah, I've read that baloney too. It's just that. It's baloney. Because when I check out, again, it's circular reasoning. They say, well, you see, they departed from the Word. No, they departed from the King James. They didn't depart from the Word. See? Get the numeric English New Testament. The numeric Greek New Testament. And it's on that same article that Terry will show you there. And check that out now. Now, compare that with the King James, and you'll find out how many errors are in the King James. Multitudes of them. And again, you don't have the 1611 King James. You have one that's been, they say that they use, what, 40-something translators? But listen, those revisions weren't made by that many translators. Some of them, they were just made by one person. You understand? You don't have the King James Version. What you have that says King James Version on the cover has nothing to do with King James. So you might as well forget that doctrine. Over 75,000 words are different than the original King James.
Is the numeric available in other languages?
I don't know.
Heard anything about that?
I don't know. Well, it's able to be translated in any language because
right.
It has the original Greek, just like everybody else got their Bibles from the original
Greek.
Yes,
it's in English.
The numeric?
Anybody can translate his numeric Greek New Testament, which is a copy of the original, into any language they want to. And
I can tell you this much, what I've heard about the translated Bibles of just the King James Version, they're more accurate than the English versions of the King James Bible.
The what?
The different, like Spanish King James and the German and French and all that. I've heard by many people that they're more accurate than the English version. because they've translated it so many times over here.
Gotcha.
138 times since it was originally done over here. So, I mean...
But weren't those revisions correcting the 75,000 mistakes that you were talking
about? No, I'm talking about revisions on top of revisions. Now, these other ones, they're not getting them from the United States.
I think 30,000, if I'm not mistaken, 30,000 of those changes were to change it from a language that people can't read nowadays.
Right.
The rest of them were just mistakes, okay? You know, here's a page from Psalms, and you pick this up and you try to read it and you stumble all the way through it.
Mm-hmm.